The airplane plip-plopped down the runway to a halt before the big sign, "Welcome to Cyprus." Mark Parker looked out of the window, and in the distance he could see the jagged wonder of the peak of Five Fingers of the northern coastal range. In an hour or so, he would be driving through the pass to Kyrenia. He stepped into the aisle, straightened out his necktie, rolled down his sleeves, and slipped into his jacket. Welcome to Cyprus. Welcome to Cyprus. It ran through his head. It was from Othello, he thought, but the full quotation slipped his mind.
Anything to declare? The customs inspector said.
2 pounds of uncut heroin and a manual of pornographic art, Mark answered, looking about for Kitty. All Americans are comedians, the inspector thought, as he passed Parker through. A government tourist hostess approached him.
Are you Mr. Mark Parker?
Guilty.
Mrs. Kitty Fremont phoned to say she is unable to meet you at the airport and for you to come straight to Kyrenia, to the Dome Hotel. She has a room there for you.
Thanks, Angel. Where can I get a taxi to Kyrenia?
I'll arrange a car for you, sir. It will take a few moments.
Can I get a transfusion around here?
Yes, sir. The coffee counter is straight down the hall.
Mark leaned against the counter and sipped a steaming cup of black coffee. Welcome to Cyprus. Welcome to Cyprus. He couldn't for the life of him remember.
Say, a voice boomed out. I thought I recognized you on the plane. You're Mark Parker. I bet you don't remember me. Fill in one of the following, Mark thought. It was Rome, Paris, London, Madrid, and match carefully. Jose's Bar, James's Pub, Jacques Hideaway, Joe's Joint. At the time, I was covering war, revolution, insurrection. That particular night, I had a blonde, brunette, redhead, or maybe that broad with two heads. The man stood nose to nose with Mark, gushing on all eight cylinders now. I was the guy who ordered a martini and they didn't have orange bitters. Now do you remember me? Mark sighed, sipped some coffee, and braced for another onslaught. I know you hear this all the time, but I really enjoy reading your columns. Say, what are you doing in Cyprus? The man then winked and jabbed Mark in the ribs. Something hush-hush, I bet. Why don't we get together for a drink? I'm staying at the Palace in Nicosia. A business card was slapped into Mark's hand. Got a few connections here, too. The man winked again.
Oh, Mr. Parker, your car is ready.
Mark put the cup down on the counter. Nice seeing you again, he said, and walked out quickly. As he departed, he dropped the business card into a trash basket. The taxi headed out from the airport. Mark rested back and closed his eyes for a moment. He was glad that Kitty couldn't get to the airport to meet him. So much time had passed, and there was so much to say and so much to remember. He felt a surge of excitement pass through him at the thought of seeing her again. Kitty. Beautiful, beautiful Kitty. As the taxi passed through the outer gates, Mark was already lost in thought. Catherine Fremont. She was one of those great American traditions like Mom's apple pie, hot dogs, and the Brooklyn Dodgers. For Kitty Fremont was the proverbial girl next door. She was the cliché of pigtails, freckles, tomboys, and braces on the teeth. And true to the cliché, the braces came off one day, the lipstick went on, and the sweater popped out, and the ugly duckling had turned into a graceful swan. Mark smiled to himself. She was so beautiful in those days. So fresh and clean. And Tom Fremont. He was another American tradition. Tom was the crew-cut kid with the boyish grin who could run the 100 in 10 flat, sink a basket from 30 feet out, cut a rug, and put a Model A together blindfolded. Tom Fremont had been Mark's best pal as long as he could remember, for as far back as he could remember. We must have been weaned together, Mark thought. Tom and Kitty, apple pie and ice cream, hot dogs and mustard, the all-American boy, the all-American girl, and the all-American Midwest of Indiana. Yes, Tom and Kitty fitted together like the rain and springtime. Kitty had always been a quiet girl, very deep, very thoughtful. There was a tinge of sadness in her eyes. Perhaps it was only Mark who detected that sadness, for she was joy itself to everyone around her. Kitty had been one of those wonderful towers of strength. She always had both hands on the rudder, always had the right words to say, always decent and thoughtful. But that sadness was there. Mark knew it if no one else did. Mark often wondered what made her so desirable. Maybe it was because she seemed so unreachable to him. The iced champagne, the look and the word that could tear a man to pieces. Anyhow, Kitty had always been Tom's girl, and the most he could do was envy Tom.